Verse 38, this came to me today, and sometimes it is more dangerous, we'll say, when I don't have a lot of notes, because I don't have a lot of notes here tonight, but something that I want to talk about tonight is the anointing. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, and the importance of the anointing, and how God wants us to be anointed. You know, there are too many Christians going around just doing their thing, and they're not one iota anointed by God to do the thing that they're doing, and it's a flop, and it's a failure, and they don't get the results that they think they should see. Yes, they're putting all of their heart into it, but they haven't been called out, they haven't been chosen out by God, they haven't been anointed by God to do that thing. God wants to anoint us in everything that we do. Yes, God, you might think it sounds silly. God even wants to anoint you in the job that you're working, that you'll be able to do it and you'll be productive in it. God wants to anoint, whether it's the men or the ladies, because it works different in each home. God wants you to be anointed in your housework. God wants you to be anointed in whatever you do. He wants you to be blessed coming in. He wants you to be blessed going out. He wants you to be, there needs to be blessing in your fingers. There needs to be anointing in your hands. And we know that it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And that's in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 12. I'm just going to look over there. I didn't have that one marked. But Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 12, Isaiah, in this prophecy here in chapter 10 and verse 12, he says these words here, Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 12, "Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed," that's not the right one. Let me see, I'm going to find it here in just a second. I thought it was Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 12, and obviously that's not the one that I'm looking for. Amen, I have it right here. Verse 27 of that chapter. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27 is what I'm looking for. "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The yoke that many people are under, they just can't seem to get victory over something. That's because they need to be anointed by God to break that yoke, that yoke that's on them, that heaviness that's on them, that burden that's on them. God wants his people to be anointed. In the first scripture that we was going to look at is in Acts chapter 10 in verse 38. And this is one, if you've been serving God very long, you probably know this scripture by heart. You've heard it many times. And it's a very important scripture. And we're starting out with this, and we're going to end with this tonight. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, and the word, key word there is God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will help us tonight as we share this thought, as we share this word, God, that we will have a better understanding and have a desire to be anointed by you, God, in whatever it is that you would have us to do. We thank you for it. In your name, Jesus, amen. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. God has to anoint you. There's too many people in God's kingdoms now that's doing things on their own, having good, well intentions, but they're not anointed by God. They've been, and I think you understand the expression, they've been anointed by their grandmother. They've been anointed by their mother or their father. They've been anointed by different ones, but they haven't been anointed by God. You must be anointed by God. Jesus, he was anointed. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and power. And God wants to anoint every one of his children with the Holy Ghost and with power. Amen. He wants his power to work in you. Jesus says, "Greater works than these shall ye do. Raise the dead, cast out devils, freely have received, freely give." Amen. Cleanse a leper, raise the dead. God wants us to do that. He wants us to go forth. But if that's going to happen, we have to be anointed by God. We can't just get the blessing of the Sunday school teacher, the blessing of the pastor, and they just say, "Just go forth and do it." I'm talking about something special that happens where God anoints you for a task and for a purpose and for a reason. And if you get into the book of Judges, along about chapter 12 in Judges, Samson comes into the story. He became one of the judges of Israel. And God anointed him at different times for different purposes. And the great exploits, I'll say it that way, that Samson was able to accomplish, it was because the anointing of the Spirit of God came upon him, and he was able to accomplish that task that was set before him. Sometimes we can't accomplish the task that is set before us because we're not letting ourselves be anointed by God. We're trying to go out in our own strength and our own ability and do those things that we can only do under the anointing of God. Now, do you really think that David, the shepherd boy, could have killed Goliath in his own power and his own strength? We know that he couldn't have done that. The giant himself even says, he laughed when he seen him coming. And he says, I'm going to take your carcass and I'm going to feed you to the fowls of the air. He said, this is a joke that you're coming to me. But he didn't know that David was anointed by God for that purpose and that reason. There might be some great exploit that God has planned for you in your life, and it might only be one thing. You might only have to kill one giant in your life. We know David went on to do great things for God, but God anointed him for that purpose and for that reason. Amen. He stood faithful to God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And when he was anointed with that Holy Ghost and power, what did Jesus do? He went about doing good. Amen. We are anointed to do good. We can't help but do good. Some people say, oh, I can't help but do bad. Everything I go, I'm just naughty and I get myself into situations. Well, you need to be anointed by God, because when Jesus was anointed by God, he went about doing good and he healed all. It says he healed all that were oppressed of the devil. And why did he do that? Because God was with him. When you're anointed by God, God is with you. You're not doing it in your own power and ability. And when you're anointed by God, yes, you can become a Sunday school teacher. You can have the title of Sunday school teacher. You can have the title of youth leader. You can have the title of pastor. But in all of those that I just said, you can have the title of church cleaner. But until you're anointed by God, you're not going to see the results and the things that need to be seen. Amen. God needs to anoint us. And in Acts, they picked those. Amen. They were the waiters of the tables and that. And they prayed for them and they anointed them. We need to be anointed by God, whatever it's doing. Well, I'm only a Sunday school teacher. But if you're a Sunday school teacher, you need to be anointed by God. You can get in that class. You can follow a lesson outline. And then all of a sudden, you can deviate from that a little bit. Because the anointing and the Spirit of God is leading you in another direction because of a situation that maybe somebody in your class is facing that you have no idea what they're going through. How good it is to be anointed by God. And so God, he anoints for a task. He anoints for a purpose. I believe Joseph was anointed when he was down in Egypt for a task and for a purpose. We know the whole story. We know how that he was able to save his own homeland and his own family because of the famine that was there. But he didn't see that when he was going through it. But he was anointed to do that. And so there's different kinds of anointings in the Bible. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, in verse 1, Saul was anointed to be the next king, or to be the first king of Israel. The prophet come out, Samuel came out, and he anointed Saul, and when he anointed him, he poured oil over him, and he prayed God's blessing upon him. Saul didn't go forth in his own might and strength and ability. In fact, Saul thought he was nothing. I believe it was Saul that he went and he hid himself among the stuff. He was humble in his own eyes. But we know the outcome of Saul and how his power and the blessing upon him led him down the wrong road. And you might even say it this way. You need to be careful with the anointing of God. You could be so anointed by God that if you're not careful, you can get a big head. You can really begin to think, I am somebody special. God has anointed me. God works through me in mighty ways. There's signs, there's wonders, there's miracles. There's the word, the gift of knowledge that comes to me. I'm able to speak prophecies and things over people. And we can get a big head, and it could be the beginning of your downfall. And so with the anointing of God, there needs to come a humbleness of realizing that I'm anointed for this task, and I'm blessed in this task that I'm doing, because God is anointing me to do it. And to God be all the glory, the honor, and the praise. It's nothing that I do of myself. And so to be anointed by God is to be filled with all the fullness of God so that you can faithfully do the work in this world that God wants you to do. I'm going to read that again. To be anointed by God. And I desire, and I pray that you all desire to be anointed by God. That means it is to be filled with all the fullness of God. God, I want to be filled with all of your fullness so that I can faithfully do your work in this world. I want to be anointed by you. Jesus was anointed. Amen. God anointed Jesus with Holy Ghost and power. And then Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Why did he do that? Because God was with him. You can go out and do great things for God if you have this anointing in your life. Only you can do what you are anointed to do. I really truly believe that if anybody else would have went with Goliath, they would have been killed. Because they weren't anointed to go against Goliath. And there's other examples that you can look at in God's Word. And it might be, some might dispute this and say it's not true, but I believe the three Hebrew children were anointed. I believe Daniel was anointed to go into that lion's den, and he come out on the other side. He lived through something that no man should have been able to live through. If I would go through that lion's den, I might die because I might not be the one that's chosen and anointed to go through something like that. And so, are you living as one who has been anointed by God? You need to be living as though I am anointed by God. Now, it's almost contrary to the way that we teach and preach, but please understand where I'm going with this tonight. That you need to be proud of that anointing that you have from God. Not in the bad sense of pride, but I'm an anointed one by God. I'm chosen by God. God has something that only I can do. Nobody else can do the thing that God has called and wants me to do. I'm handpicked by God to do this task for Him. We need to look at it that way. And only you can do what you are called or what you are anointed to do. Only you can do it. You go out there in your own... I'd like to go out and kill a Goliath every day. But if I try to do that in my own strength and ability, I might fall flat on my face. I have to be led and directed by God. I would like to be anointed to just go out there, somebody that's possessed of the devil, and I say in the name of Jesus Christ, you demon, you come out of there. But if I do that in my own strength and power and ability, I might be like the seven sons of Sceva that we studied about in Sunday school this morning. Those devils might come after me and rip my clothes off of me and bring an embarrassment to me. Because just because you're exuberant for God and want to do things for God, make sure you're anointed by God to do it. That it's God that's calling you to do that. You might have been down here with David. If you would have been traveling with him, you might have said, that's a great idea, David. Come on, David, let's go do this. We can do this thing. Not realizing that David knew, amen, that it was the Lord, his God, that was working in him. And he realized that Goliath, when he was speaking against the God of Israel. He wasn't speaking against the Jewish people per se. And the anointing came upon David. The anointing came upon Samson many times in Judges 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, along in there. And when the anointing come unto him, he did things that a normal man couldn't do. He had superhuman strength. God worked in his life. And so the anointing can make a difference. Amen. In your life, you need to be anointed by God. There's only one here that's still going to school, but you need to be anointed by God for those school lessons that you're going to hear this week. I'm anointed by God. I'm going to be able to grasp it. You need to be anointed by God in the workplace, in the machines and things that you have to run there. Brother Eric, you can be anointed by God so you can just catch on real quick, and you can be the number one operator of whatever machine or process that's going on there. That people can come to you for guidance. The maintenance people can come to you. Hey, what do you think the problem is? God can anoint you to do things like that. We might not look at it in that way, but God anoints His people. And the anointing can make a difference in your life. And I'll say it this way, the anointing will make a difference in your life. Psalms chapter 133. And you need to desire the anointing of God in your life. I know this kind of preaching you don't hear a lot, but you need to desire to have the anointing of God in your life. The anointing of God. You're facing a problem in your family. You're facing a situation in your family. And you can't find any resolve. You can't find any answer. How am I going to get out of this situation? How am I going to get out of this mess? You need to pray, God, anoint me. God, so that I'll know what to do in this situation. And the anointing will make that difference. In Psalms chapter 133, we're going to talk about three different kinds of anointings. And this is the first one we're going to talk about. In verse 2, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments. What kind of anointing do we need? Number one, we need, and this here is speaking of a saturating anointing. I'm just saturated with the anointing and with the power of God. Jesus himself says it's going to be in you like rivers of living water. It's going to flow out of your bellies like rivers of living water. You're going to be anointed. You're going to feel something come over you. You experience the anointing of God. It's hard to express. Each one would probably express it differently. But it's like you feel this way, and all of a sudden you just feel supercharged in a situation. You need a saturation of the anointing of God. And as I said earlier, there's too many people today in too many churches that are just going through the motions and just doing what they're doing, and they think they're anointed by God. They're not even anointed by God. They're just doing what needs to be done. And what a difference it would make if they would be anointed by God. Instead of just being a Sunday school teacher, be an anointed Sunday school teacher. Instead of just being a song leader, be an anointed song leader. Instead of just being a piano player or organ player, be an anointed organ player or piano player. It takes us up another notch. It takes us a little bit higher. Amen. It's a spiritual thing that happens within us. And God wants there to be a saturating anointing that comes over his children, even as the oil ran down over Aaron and ran over his beard. Amen. We need a saturating anointing in the days that we're living, because we are not fighting small things anymore. There's principalities, power, spiritual wickedness in high places. There's big things coming against us. There's fiery darts being hurled over our way. Amen. We need that saturating anointing of the Spirit of God in our lives. Amen. We're fighting bigger things than we ever fought before. We need a saturating anointing of the Spirit of God. And that saturating anointing of the Spirit of God, it can keep you lifted up, but it can help you not to become discouraged when you hear the ways of the world and how they're going deeper into sin and how they're being more outspoken against the things of God and how persecutions are rising against believers and churches and those that have faith in God. Amen. We need a saturated anointing of the Word of God. We're just saturated with the anointing of God, and those things don't bother us. They don't deter us. I think the anointing that God gave to Jesus in Acts 10:38, where it talks about that, it was a saturating anointing. It wasn't just a little touch of an anointing to help him in a particular situation, and that can help, not belittling that, but he was saturated with the anointing and with the power of God. God wants us to be saturated with his anointing, with his power, and with his Spirit. That's going to take some dedication. That's going to take some determination. That's going to take some setting yourself aside for God. That's going to take some fasting. That's going to take some prayer. That's going to take some concern. Amen. That's going to take some desire. That's going to take some soul searching. It's going to take some sacrifice. But God wants us to be saturated with his anointing. Amen. To be saturated with his anointing. Another anointing that's talked about is in Psalms chapter 92. So you can just turn back a little bit there. Psalms chapter 92. We're going to look at this tonight. And this is another kind of anointing that God has for us. There's that saturating anointing. Psalms chapter 19, verse 10. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Fresh oil. Maybe in a little bit we'll sing that song. Fresh oil from the throne, oh, fresh oil from the throne. What do we say? Anoint me today with fresh oil from the throne. I need more power in this last hour. Anoint me today with fresh oil from the throne. So there's that saturating anointing, and then there's that fresh anointing. Some anointing that some people have, it's a stale anointing. It's something that they received from God years ago, and they're still trying to run on that today. They might have done something great like David did, not actually killing people, but understand what I'm saying. Some great exploit for the Lord. God really brought a miracle through them to somebody else, and they can be like a Samson. Oh, I did this, and I did. You should see my resume. Man, but how's the anointing today? Do you have a fresh anointing today? Some are staring their anointing, and they're trying to hang on to something that happened years ago. Make sure your anointing is fresh. Make sure your anointing is fresh. Oh, when you received the baptism in the Holy Ghost, there was nobody that could talk you out of that. It was like fire shut up in your bones. There was a zeal. There was an excitement that went with that. It was hard for you to sit still. It was hard for you to stand still. You were excited about it. Oh, I'm anointed by God. I've been anointed by Him. I've been chosen. I've been called out. Oh, this is a great thing. This is a good thing. And here we are years later, and you haven't spoken tongues since the day you received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. You need to keep a fresh anointing. Make sure that that anointing is fresh. And so, how do we begin to lose the anointing? Church becomes routine. Just routine. We're going to church. We know that a lot are sick. There probably ain't going to be a lot there tonight. And I just hope we can get in at 6 and out at 7. And I hope the preacher's not too long. And I hope that Brother Kyle won't sing too many songs. And please, Pastor, don't let there be any testimonies today. I have other things to do. I can be home sitting in my easy chair, whatever it is. So it might go through your mind. Church becomes routine. And then the next thing that happens, if your anointing isn't fresh, your personal worship becomes a chore. It should not be a chore for you to have that alone time with God. There's a difference between chore and work. There's going to be a spiritual battle anytime you want to shut yourself in with God. Understand that. But it's not a chore like, oh, I've got to do this. Amen. There's something within us that desires to be with God, but personal worship begins to lack. And we find it hard to raise our hands and to praise the Lord. Amen. When we could stand up and worship. Now, sometimes there was some tonight that couldn't do it because of illness and not feeling well. We understand that. God understands that. But if you're never moved by the Spirit of God, people can be dancing all around you. They can be running around the church house. They can be spinning in circles. Even the Shekinah glory, the glory of God can be filled up the place. And you're just sitting there and you're not feeling the thing. You need a fresh anointing from God. Lord, I need that fresh anointing from you. It shouldn't be that way. The anointing from above, it's a fresh anointing. It's a quickening that comes over you. You're sitting, it's just a mundane service. It's the same as always. We don't sing a lot of new songs here. So we just sing the same songs over and over again. We just repeat them. We know hundreds of songs. Don't get me wrong. But we just get into that. Then all of a sudden, there's something happening. There's a quickening that happens down inside of you. You feel like somebody lit a fire under you. And you just feel it overwhelming within your soul and in your spirit. That's the anointing of God. So you need to keep that anointing fresh. And then the anointing makes a difference in your prayer life. When you're anointed by God, it makes a difference in your prayer life. The anointing makes a difference in your praise. Oh, when you're anointed, and I'm sure you've been in Pentecostal services. I know that you have. And you're around some people, and when they praise the Lord, they just start, oh Lord, I just praise you. You're so good. I just thank you. And that's their way of praising. But then you have those, oh, God, you're so good to me. I just praise your holy name. You've done so much for me. I'm just so blessed to belong to you. And they just go off into praise and worship. And I'm just doing that for purposes of illustration. But there's a difference in your prayer. There's a difference in your praise when you're anointed by God. When you're anointed by God, it comes from the depths of your heart and from your soul. You want to worship the Lord. You don't want them. You don't want song service to stop. You don't want that time of praise and worship worship to stop. It just wants to keep flowing out of you because you've been anointed and you have that fresh anointing. Amen. So it makes a difference in your prayer. It makes a difference in your praise. It makes a difference in your spirit. When you're anointed by God, you're not going to be that Mr. or Mrs. Negativity and doom and gloom and despair and agony of heart and looking at the reality of the situations and it's not looking good and it's just all down and we don't see any way out from here. You're not going to be that kind of person. When you have that fresh anointing of God, you're going to have some praise within your spirit. You're going to see the good in every situation, in every problem. You're not going to be like that one that was with the prophet when they were surrounded by the enemy and they were going to die. There was no way out. And the prophet said, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. Now the prophet, he was full of the anointing of God. He could see the band of angels around them that was going to come in and intervene in their situation. But his helper, he couldn't see that. He was seeing them because he wasn't anointed. And so when you're anointed by God, you'll look at things differently. When you're anointed by God, when the pastor, just as an example, when the pastor gets up and makes an announcement about something that we're going to start doing as a church, or we're going into a building project, we're going to do this or that, you're not going to be the one that's like, well, what's wrong with him? Well, you know, he must be ill. He's not thinking straight. Yeah, there's going to be something that's going to click in your spirit when you have that fresh anointing. And you're going to be right there with it. You're going to go, yes, this is what God wants. We don't know how God's going to do it, but we know that God's going to do it. There's going to be an anticipation. There's going to be an exciting, amen, excitement within us when we have that fresh anointing in our spirit. And when you have that fresh anointing in your spirit, it's going to make a difference in your house. Oh, you're not going to be so apt to yell at the pets when you get on your nerve. You're not going to be so apt to be sharp and curt with the children when they get on your nerves. Although it has its place of correction, don't misunderstand me. But it's just going to make a difference. You're just going to be full of the praises of God. You're just going to thank God in all things. You're just going to be happy. You're not going to be a grumbler. You're not going to be a complainer about all the chores and all the things that need done. And it doesn't mean that mom's not going to get upset with you if she just mopped the floor and you come across with a bunch of mud on your feet. Well, she needs more of the anointing of God so she doesn't get worked up. No, that's not what I'm talking about, okay? Understand that. That's not what I'm talking about. But this is going to make a difference in your house. Your house is going to be a refuge for your family. It's going to be a refuge for other people. And they're going to want and desire to be in your house. Is there ever a place you just wanted to be because anytime you were there, you just felt so at home. You felt so good there. If you have a fresh anointing in your life, people are going to want to be around you. People aren't going to be running from you when they see you coming. Oh, man, let's clear the room. Man, there's those kind of people. We've all seen them. They come in and everybody sort of scatters because nobody really wants to deal with them. That kind of person needs a fresh anointing upon their life. You get anointed by God. People are going to want to be around you. It's going to make a difference. And then the last anointing that we're going to talk about, amen, so we talked about two anointings. We talked about that saturating anointing, just being saturated with the power of God, full of the power of God. I would dare say in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were saturated with the anointing of God whenever they were going into the temple and that man was there. I know I talk about this one often, but it's a good thing. And that man was there and he looked up to them and he wanted some help from them and he was looking for money. And they says, hey, we don't got silver or gold. See, they were anointed by God. But they said, what we do have, we give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he stood up leaping and walking and praising God and went into the temple praising God, and it caused a big stir among the Jewish people of that day. That's what we're talking about. Amen. That fresh anointing from God, being saturated with the anointing of God, that the anointing of God just oozes from you. When people are around you, they can begin to feel convicted of their sins, although you say nothing about their sins. They'll feel a conviction about them. That's the anointing of God that can travel and go with the saint of God. That saturated anointing, that new anointing, that fresh anointing. And then there's anointing of wisdom and favor. Anointing of wisdom and favor. And that anointing of wisdom and favor, I believe, is what happened to Jesus in Acts chapter 10, 38. And I told you I was going to finish up with this verse tonight. Acts chapter 10, Verse 38, I'm going back over there. Amen. You can go back over there. Acts chapter 10. In verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. There's a lot of people today that are anointed with the Holy Ghost, but they seem to be lacking the power. Where's the power of God in their life? You have to desire to want the power of God. Be a vessel that the power of God can work through. God's just looking for willing vessels. And whenever we have that anointing of God, we have that wisdom and favor. Jesus had wisdom and favor with God and with man. And when we have that anointing that God wants to give us, that anointing will give us direction. We will know this is the way, walk ye in it. You won't be walking around in a state of confusion. I'm not sure what I should do. One minute I think I should go in this direction. The next minute I think I should go in this direction. I should buy this. No, I shouldn't buy this. I should buy that. I should do this. I should go visit this one. No, maybe that's just me. I shouldn't go. But when we have the anointing of God in us, that fresh anointing, that saturated anointing, it's going to give us direction. David was anointed by God, and he knew that he should go kill Goliath. He didn't debate it in his mind. Even when they begin to cast out, look, this is a big dude out here. You're just a little bit of a fella. You know, the superhero stuff's trying to take over you. You really think you're something and somebody. You need to realize who you really are. The devil will try to do that to us. He'll try to set us in our place like, you can't do this for God. But the Spirit and the anointing of God, it will give us direction. It will give you direction. You'll know when you should go. You'll know when you shouldn't go. Samson knew what he should do when he should do it. He took that job over an ass and went out and killed all those people. He took the foxes and set them on fire and sent them through the fields. He picked up the gates of the city. He just didn't decide in his own time, this is what I should do. The Spirit of God gave him direction. And so if you're having trouble finding direction in your life and what it is that you should go, or the way you should go, maybe you need to pray for the anointing of God. Anoint me, Jesus, so I know the direction I should go. And the anointing will also give you the spirit of wisdom to know the right thing to do. You'll have that spirit of wisdom because there's perplexing things that we face at times. We don't know what to do. We don't really have the answer. And it's really trying on us. Whenever it's fired to us, what are you going to do in this situation? We can say many times, honestly, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know what we need to say? I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. And God's going to anoint me so that I know what to do. So that I'll do the correct thing. Amen. And it brings a, amen. And it brings a spirit of happiness to us, the anointing does. And when we have the anointing, doors are going to open. There's going to be opportunities that are going to come your way. People are going to be calling you. Hey, come to my church. Come to my house. Go to this one. Tell this one about Jesus. It's going to present opportunities to us. It's something that you can't do with the anointing. You can't fake the anointing. You can't fake the anointing. It's real. You can't fake it. A lot of people are doing this today. They think they're anointed. And many times we can fall into the trap of thinking someone's anointed when they're not, because they just have talent. And we'll say, oh, listen, they're anointed by God. And you'll have some of you, you understand this, you'll have some of your spiritual Christians, they probably won't say it, but they're thinking, I don't feel any anointing there. I see a lot of talent there, and that talent could be anointed by God, but I don't feel the anointing. And the unlearned Christian takes talent and classifies that as anointing. Just because somebody has talent doesn't mean that they're anointed. Amen. There's a difference. So you can't fake the anointing with talent. You can't fake the anointing with intelligence. Well, they're really a smart person. Or with charisma. They just have something about them. There's just the way that they carry themselves. They're so likable. It must be the anointing of God that's upon them. Don't be deceived by that. Don't be deceived like that. We need that real anointing of God. And concluding with this, what's the real anointing of God? God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. We need the real anointing. If you have the real anointing, you're going to be able to make a difference in other people's lives. You're just doing it in yourself. And so, let's just go back and think about this a minute. Whatever it is that you're doing for God now, Maybe the pastor's called you to do something, and you haven't been anointed by God, and you're just doing it. You're just the Sunday school teacher. You're just the church cleaner. You're the usher. You're the Sunday school superintendent. Any of those things, a soul leader, whatever it might be. How much better it is to be anointed by God. God, anoint me for this position that I have. Anoint me in my piano playing. Anoint me in my... That's not a stingy prayer. That's a good desire to have that kind of thing. Because I've heard piano playing and organ playing before. This sounds good, but I've heard anointed organ playing and piano playing. And there is a huge difference. Amen. And that comes from God. We need to desire that anointing. God, that your anointing will just saturate my fingers as I touch the piano or I touch the organ or when I play the drums. God, that your power will just saturate me wherever I'm leading singing. And we have examples of that. We can see. I'm not saying that any here are not anointed by God. But we know this. And he was just here. He led songs at fellowship meeting for us just a couple of nights ago. And Nathan Andrews is definitely anointed by God to lead worship. It's something different. I can get up and lead worship, but it's not like he does. But God anoints everybody differently, so understand that. He's anointed by God. He and I say, and you understand what I'm saying, not in the real sense, but he's able to stir up people. He's able to get people to stand up and to worship God because he's anointed by God to do it. And I'm sure, and I know that you have heard of those preachers that are not anointed by God, and you can listen to them, and they're speaking... They're speaking God's word. They're speaking truth. You might even be able to throw in an amen here or there because it is God's word that they're talking about. But then you'll have those preachers that will get up. And there's different ones that we have within our group and from out that we get in for meetings and that. And man, when they get up and talk, and when the anointing comes on them, they're standing here talking like I'm talking to you now. Then all of a sudden, there's just a change in their voice, a change in their tone. And they take it up and or two, and the words just start flowing out of them. That's the anointing of God. Amen. It's the anointing of God that breaks the yoke, and we need to desire to have the anointing of God in our life. And when we do, we'll be like Jesus. And we'll go about doing good. We'll help all those that are oppressed of the devil. Why? Because now God is with me. Before, I was just teaching my Sunday school in my own power and ability. Now God is with me. I'm including God. And so we want that saturated anointing, and we want that fresh anointing. Let's stand, amen, to our feet tonight. Let's sing that song, amen. Anoint me today with fresh oil from the throne. Desire that fresh oil from the throne. What you had, whatever it was that you received, and if it's the Holy Ghost, if it was that special service, that special time, the time that you remember in your life where you felt God more powerful than you ever felt him at any other time in your life, and you're trying to just keep going on that, you can do that for a while. But we need that fresh anointing from God. We need that fresh touch from God. Amen. We need to desire to be anointed by God to do what it is that we have to do. All of our lives would be much better if we go forth in the power and in the anointing of God. I'm anointed to go to work tomorrow. The ones that are going to work tomorrow. I'm anointed when I go into the grocery store. I'm anointed wherever I go. I'm anointed by God for a purpose and a reason. Amen. Let's sing that a couple of times tonight in closing. Amen. Fresh oil from the throne.
Fresh oil from the throne. Fresh oil from the throne. Anoint me today with fresh oil from the throne. I need your power in this dark hour. Anoint me today with fresh oil from the throne. Fresh oil from the throne, fresh oil from the throne, anoint me today with fresh oil from the throne.
Now this anointing that you desire from God, sometimes we get the misconception that I have to be in an anointing service, and they're going to take the oil bottle, and they're going to saturate my head with it, they're going to saturate my fingers with it, or my feet, whatever it is, and then I'm going to be anointed by God. It doesn't necessarily work that way. God can do it that way. I have seen services like that, and God has manifested himself. But this anointing that I'm talking about, it comes from God. I can't stand up here and just give you the anointing. This anointing we're talking about is how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. We need God to anoint us. And so it's nice and it makes us feel good if I say, come on up, I'm going to pray God's anointing on you. God's anointing will come upon you when you are ready to receive it. You're going to set yourself aside. You're going to desire now more of the power of God in your life. You're going to spend time in fasting and in prayer. And God's going to see by the life that you live that you are sincere about this, that you want his touch upon your life. And it will happen in God's time. It's not a magical thing. Just a certain time. It's, no, I got God's anointing. I'm all set to go. It's in God's time. Let's sing this again. Amen. In closing tonight. And desire the anointing in your life. Amen.
Precious, who from the throne, precious, from the throne, anoints me today with fresh oil from the throne. I need more power, oh, in this last hour, anoints me today with fresh oil from the throne. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, help us, God, Lord, to desire that saturated anointing, God, to desire that fresh anointing in our lives, God. Lord, that we'll be set for that task that you have for us to do, God. We'll be anointed by you. Your Spirit will move upon us, oh God. And as your Spirit moves upon us, we will be obedient to that Spirit, God. It is going to be great things that happen, God. Everywhere we go, we're going to be doing good, God. We're going to be helping all that are oppressed of the devil, God. Lord, because that anointing is within us, God. Good works are going to follow in the name of Jesus. Help each one of us here tonight in the task and the things that we do, God, that we be anointed to do it, God. The difference that the anointing makes, God, we need it so desperately in our lives, God. We don't want to pretend. We don't want to just hope, God, but we truly want to see your anointing working in our lives, God, Lord, in every area of our life. Thank you for it, Jesus. Lord, be with us as we leave this place tonight. Keep your hand upon us, God. Be with all that are sick, God. There's many, Lord, from the church here that are not even able to be here tonight due to sickness. Touch them in their bodies, God. Raise them up for your honor and glory, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we go forth this week, we'll be anointed by you in whatever situation that we face, God. Your Spirit will move upon us, and we'll be able to make a difference in a person's life because of you in us, God, not because of us. Be with each one. We thank you for it. And everybody say amen. God bless you.